Oh, that might be Mr. Brown. Let's see if it is. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. Who this? This Ron Brown?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. We're going to put you on the air right now, though.
We're trying to put it together. Yeah. We got Ron Brown on the line.
On the line. Oh, man, Rook. You out here at the right time.
Hello.
Hey. Ray, give him the clap, Ray.
Yes, sir.
Yo, do you prefer to be called Ron? I mean, how do we what do we call you? Ron Brown's what? RB? Eat the boy?
Yeah,
eat the boy?
Yeah, eat the boy. Yeah.
What's good, baby?
I love you.
What's good, man? What's good?
Yeah, yo, first of all, we want to say thank you for being able to participate in this event with us. We happy to have you. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to you. And we definitely want to say thank you and let you know that we looked up your resume, man. You got one hell of a resume,
absolutely.
My boy. One hell of a resume.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know it, you know. Yeah. Should they do this?
All right, so listen, what we want you to do is just be cool for a second. My man Rainier, he gonna give you a little interview, and we're going to go from there.
All right,
what's going on, Ron?
What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Hanging in there. Well, I just want to start by giving you your respect once again as an artist, as a producer. I mean, you can't mention Harlem hip hop without mentioning Ron Browse. That's first and foremost. So we got to definitely give you that respect. What got you into the music scene?
Just pretty much, you know, being introduced to music. You know, growing up in Harlem, black parties, hearing music, watching video music box every day after school, and just wanted to know how the songs was made and what it took to make the record.
Is it a rumor that you started out at 12, or is that
no,
the truth?
No, that's not a rumor. I was signed to an independent company, and when I was 12 years old.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Ray.
Who would you say some of your influences were? Besides, like you said, the block parties and stuff like that, and having a curiosity into how music was made. What were some of the people you listened to that furthered that interest in music?
Actually, the whole music that was going on in the 90s, like from Dos Effects to I'm from the Dos Effects, the Chris Cross, the whole music in the
90s.
Like, I know it so well.
That's what's up. A lot of people that know you, they know you as the producer and artist who created the smash hit in the clubs, Pop Champagne. You want to give people some insight into how that came about?
Pop Champagne came about wanting a single out, because, you know, I was producing, but I was only producing for records that was only going on albums.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't getting the singles. So I was like, yo, I'm going to take one of my beats that I think is a single.
Uh-huh.
And try to do something myself as an artist.
Okay.
And I worked the record independently, and Jones heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to be a part of it, and then, you know, we made it a big thing, a big Harlem record, you know, when we added you out to it.
Yeah, I think it was a big, big record. You know, that was my joint when it used to come on in the club. I only had one problem with it. So I was watching the video, and I was real mad at y'all. Like, I was wondering why, when y'all was popping the champagne and pouring it, there was a guy in the video, and I need you to call him after this interview, and yeah, you might need the fair one with him. You was pouring out the champagne, and he was catching it in his hand. Like, he had his hand in the shape of a bowl, and he was drinking the champagne.
I don't think I was in that scene.
Good answer.
Mark, that was definitely a good answer.
I wasn't in that scene.
Yeah, when you got wind that Jim Jones had heard the record and he wanted to get Juelz on it, did you already have a prior relationship with the Dipset team, or was that something that was a surprise to you?
I didn't. That was weird. Growing up in Harlem, I never really crossed paths with him.
Okay.
If you know your history, except for at a Uncasa and T-Rex battle.
I know exactly what battle you're talking about.
Yeah, so T-Rex and Uncasa had battled one time, and T-Rex was my artist at the time, and Uncopter was, you know, a dipshit artist.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
That was the only time we really crossed paths.
Oh, wow. So how big was it? Because the story that I read was apparently that Jazzy Joyce had played the song for Jim. Jim had he loved it and he brought it to Jewel. So once you heard that they wanted to be on the record, what was like? How did that feel for you? As this is, you know, you're considering this like maybe your debut single, and you know, you didn't know what to expect, and then you got somebody like Jewel who was really hot at that time. Like, yo, we're gonna do this and we're gonna make this epic for Harlem. How did that feel? No, I just said, how did that feel? Yeah.
It was just dope to have a record from New York. Actually, I'm not even going to pigeonhole Harlem and Uptown, but it was a big record for New York, and nothing really was kind of big out of New York at that time, except for like the year before when Jim had Ballin'.
Mm-hmm.
So that year it was Pop Champagne, and it was just a huge record for New York City, per se.
Got anything, bro?
It was dope to collaborate. You know, we got nominated for a BET Award, but we got nominated.
Yeah, definitely congratulate you on the success of that, because I did my research and it peaked at some great numbers on Billboard. It hit the top 100. It definitely did some great numbers on Billboard, so definitely shout out for that.
And you should have pulled the Kanye at the BET Awards. You should have, went up there.
I'm doing it next time.
You should. It could have been like wrestling, because you got like a little entrance, like right when they was about to give the award out, you could have been like, eat the boy, and just came in. Shut it down real quick.
Yeah, so I want to talk about something that a lot of people might not know, and I didn't know at first. But let's talk about tracks like Size 'Em Up and Ebonics. I mean, in the history of hip-hop, especially if you're from New York, I mean, anything with Big L is, I mean, that's holy ground. That's holy ground right there. And you was a part of that?
That was experience in my life that was kind of, I felt honored to work with Big L. And he was just so dope to me and so talented. When his life got cut short, it was just like a hard thing to take, you know what I'm saying, to take in, because I knew how much he meant to hip hop, and you know, I'm a all of it. I was just blessed to be able to work with him and be in the studio with him and produce Ebonics and see him do it and record it. You know, to actually see him do it, or like he recorded the first version in my mother house on a cassette.
But I'm saying like that. Those are those unknown facts. Like I'm saying that right there alone puts you on another level. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's kids today that never seen Big L, don't know what he looked like, where he from, but they know his music and especially Ebonics.
I just shared a Big L freestyle on yesterday. They have video footage of him, and I just shared it yesterday. So
yeah. So I mean, I didn't know that. I did not know that. So
a lot of people don't know, man. They need to start mentioning my name in the top five producers, man. But
absolutely.
You gotta start throwing it out there.
Really got those types of credits on a resume like I do, like far as a producer. People just go with the hype.
But can I run down some, Ray? I'm just want to step in.
No, do that.
Can I run down some? I mean, not only did you work with the guys from before, but you did work with Fred the Godson and Maino, right?
Before Fred really got his feet wet.
What was that joint, Whistling on a Star?
Yeah.
The beat is hard too, yo. It's sick, man. We was gonna play it. We was hoping to have it so that we can, you know, we was gonna play this little game. We was just gonna throw instrumentals on for you. We was gonna throw that one on. A joint is called I'm Around. That was a Remy joint that you did, right?
Yeah, I produced that.
You got some heat under your belt.
Yeah, I really think that people should give you a lot more credit. I mean, and myself, I got to tell you, I all I knew you for was Pop Champagne and jumping out the window.
Man.
Yo, son, I'm keeping it 100.
Yeah, I mean,
until I did my research. So shout out to, I don't want to call the boy Roach, but shout out to Roach, man, because he really, when he said that he could lock you in for the interview, you know, we wanted to do our due diligence, so we went and we did our research, and I just started looking at all this stuff. And then we ain't even talk about the one hit that will probably cement you in hip-hop history.
Yeah. And that's that Ether.
Ether.
I definitely got to ask this. Now, Jay-Z has been iconic for a lot of his career. First, I want to ask, did you know that this was Nas's direction when he got a hold of the Ether beat?
No. Nas actually got the beat for me like in June of that year.
Uh-huh.
I think it was, 2001, I think.
Okay.
And he held the beat into the wintertime, and then I was on it. You know, I'm in Harlem. I'm a young producer. I'm like, he ain't going to do nothing with that beat. He hasn't had it for 6 months. He ain't doing nothing with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because I didn't really know the record process of artists at that time. So.
Yeah.
And then that December, he called me to the studio, like, y'all want you to hear what I did to it. And once he played it, I was just like, wow, like, I was blown away in two different ways. I'm like, wow, you know, this is dope for me as a producer and on my resume, but he's coming at Jay, which was, you know, a big artist at the time. I'm like, am I going to catch a flack for that?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because like that was going to be my next question. Like, what was it like, the expectation? Like, oh my God, like, you coming at Hov, this is Nas, one of the greats, coming at another great. But now how does it feel to fast forward and know that you were part of one of the biggest hip hop beefs
ever?
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah, it's dope, but I always get the flat that, Jay-Z, I'm always under attack from Jay-Z because of that.
Word?
Yeah, people ask me that all the time, and they think DOA was made because of Ether, and I get a lot of questions about that.
Here's a barbershop question, since we're in the barbershop. Yeah, yeah. Here's a barbershop question. Who won the battle?
I ain't even got to say the streets gonna take. Just because they thought, I guess they thought Nas was you know, finished, or you know, he couldn't back from it. So, you know, if you get hit with a punch and get knocked out, you lost.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Ether, man, I remember. Yeah, like, Ether, Ether to me. It's like, I'm going to tell you, like, everybody remembers where they were when the Trayvon verdict went down. Everybody remember where they were when O.J. Simpson verdict went down.
Uh-huh.
Everybody remember when Ether dropped
for the first time.
It
stopped the world.
It stopped the world. I mean, and Ron Brown's is part of that.
Yeah.
And not only a part of that, a major part of that.
Yeah, you gotta stick your chest out a little more.
Yeah, just a little bit, man. You got to.
You're too quiet.
My body and work, I ain't run around and talk all crazy.
but not only that, man, you know, the young school, they don't know what you've done and what you contribute to this to this industry that we love. Yeah. I mean and bro, you got more.
Yeah, yeah. You actually mentioned that people thought that DOA was a reference to you. I actually want to give you another opportunity for giving you your just due, because everybody attributes, you know, T-Pain to bringing life to Auto-Tune, but you've killed it on song with Auto-Tune on a couple of hits, and you don't get any recognition for that. So I guess maybe that's where the DOA, you know, reference to, oh, he's coming at Ron, but people don't know, you made Auto-Tune hot.
Yeah, no, I mean, I hit the Billboard charts with it.
Absolutely. I want to go into the Jumping Out the Window record. That was definitely a dope record, definitely something that people are going to remember.
Yeah.
How did that record come about?
Actually, that record came about, one of my friend Tone Wop, who be with me and stuff like that. It was like right after, like, Denver Pop Champagne. It was kind of new for everybody in my circle, the success of the record. And, you know, at that time, as an artist, when you reach a certain amount of success, the neighborhood, you're going to get all kinds of opinions. People trying to tell you, do this, do that. And my friend was like, yo, don't hold back. This is your time. Just jump out the window with it and just do you. So, you know, I just made a record like that. That's what the record really means. The record really means, like,
Like, don't hold back. Just do what you do.
I gotta say it was a dope record. Probably one of my favorites of that timeline. But you will be getting a subpoena from my people because the video gave me a seizure. So,
you know what? Yo, that picture, you talking about jumping out the window?
Yeah.
Yo, that was all universal.
So, good answer.
Another concept. This is with me when you learn that you in a record label when you might start bumping heads, because I had a crazy idea for it and it shut me down.
Yeah.
And at this time,
yo, no, this is the video you doing it. So shout out to the independent artists who do what the hell they want to do.
Appreciate that. Definitely appreciate that. Another.
You got more control.
Yeah, absolutely. Another big smash hit, A-Rap Money, Busta Rhymes.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
I got a funny story about A-Rap Money.
Tell us.
Around that time I did the hook, and it was just a beat and a hook. I did the beat and just hit the hook, and it was sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
And Busta, as soon as Pop Champagne Pop, he's like, yo, I need a record. And that was like number 7 on the beat CD.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even, because I didn't think it was that hot. I just thought it was, like, weirdo. Like, people, I be thinking I weird people out with the ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it, like, number 7. As soon as Busta heard it, he was like, yo, that's my single. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was that? What was that for your career? Because, I mean, Busta, anytime you mention Busta, you know, that's a big, big situation because Busta's an iconic entity within himself. How was that for you to even, you know, be a part of that whole thing? And then even have him ask you to be a part of the song and want to keep the concept as genuine as possible from when he heard it. How was that for you?
Yeah, you know what? It was cool, man. Because I got to tell Busta Rhymes I didn't like an idea.
Wow.
But I was fun.
Yo, you eating, son?
Just tearing something up, man. We live on the radio.
That's love. Yeah.
No, we respect that.
Yeah, but working with Busta was cool. Like, I got to go on the road with Busta, too.
Mm.
So, you know, they sent me on a promo run with Busta. So I got to see how he prepped for his shows.
Mm.
You know, what it takes, you know, to rock a show.
Mm.
So I learned a lot from being up on the bus. Like I also like took it as a class when I went on the road with him, and he always beat me up and always respected what I do, and it was a dope experience, man. Like
now that's
it was a big record, and and when I go on the road now and I play that record, you know, they respond to that record anywhere I go. Like, it don't matter where I'm at, what side of the world, Japan, Africa. They know that record, and they bug out when they hear it.
Yeah, that record's official.
And the actual idea came from being in Harlem and always going into the, you know, the stores and the A-Rap stores, and they playing music, and, you know, if you're from Harlem, we always snap on them, they snap on you.
Mm-hmm.
They do it. You know, I think that's a New York thing, because they do it in, we do it in Hudson.
Yeah.
It's a New York thing.
Was you saying any real words? Like, was that, like, really the language?
No, it wasn't real words. It was melodies, because, you know, like I said, I used to go into the store, and they always have music playing.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I was playing around with the auto-tune, I'm like, wow, this sounds Arabian, right? The melodies that I'm saying in my head sound Arabian. And I just said it, and some people just dug it. I even went to Dubai.
Wow.
What? Didn't Eddie Murphy go to Dubai? In the movie, right? Golden Child.
Yeah.
And they was like, are you scared to be out here? Because they thought when I said, we getting A-Rap money, they thought I meant we taking money from them. Like,
oh, wow.
I'm like, nah, I'm just digging up y'all culture, that's all.
Wow. I know we talked to, you got a long list of great bodies of work. You got the Equilibrium, the Christening, you got Fly Away, you got the joint you just released, I believe back in September, She Don't Like Me. But I also read that you are making a movie debut in a movie called The Mint this summer.
What is it called?
The Mint? That's what I read.
We telling you?
Yeah. You don't know?
That's what I read. I read that you were making your acting debut, excuse me.
Musical.
And yeah. The Mint, in a movie called The Mint. How true is that?
Nah, that don't sound right.
Yeah, I read the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, me too. It's a musical.
Nah, but I shot like two independent films shot by this guy called Neff. One is called Blind. About blind dates, and one is called Hashtag, about being a guy who owns a bar and, you know, trying to save a bar. So I'm actually into, you know, the whole acting thing. I think it's cool. I dabble in it once in a while.
Do you think you know, considering your long body of work or whatever, that's a natural transition for an artist to go into acting and kind of, you know, make a debut into a movie or TV show of some sort?
Yeah, if you're not put in one, elevate your craft and explore different avenues, then definitely, you know, putting videos, acting stuff, you know, you rap, acting, acting, and so on, you might as well.
What got you involved in this kind of event, and I'm hearing that you're playing as well, so how did that come about? You know, if you want to dribble, then you would call. Seem like you took much, and you were really on board for the kids and stuff like that. So what other things have you, you know, been a part of that are big for, you know, different communities and stuff like that, that promote, you know, the success of children and anything like, and those lanes?
Said Nia Long?
Huh?
Said Nia Long?
No, I wish.
Oh, I'm about to say.
From Love and Hip Hop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that something that y'all frequently, that y'all do often, or?
Yeah, I mean, that's some things that, you know, we starting to do often. Just go out and talk to kids and, you know, and inspire them to be better and do better.
Okay, with that said, I mean, there's a lot of unsigned artists here in Hudson, independent, trying to work towards some of the accolades that you've achieved in your career. What suggestions would you give them, you know, to actually make it and be successful in this industry?
That fear doesn't exist. Like, do whatever you do. Be as creative as possible, even though some people might think you're a weirdo. Be creative. And don't stop.
Anything on their resume that we might have left out, I know that he did not mention, because I'm from the old school, man. And the fact that you did a joint with Noriega and Capone, I mean, that's love right there. That's love. But is there anything that we might have left out that you want everybody to know about? Because, I mean, they really sleeping on you. Let's think about it, man. Like, everything we...
You ain't talk about the Whip Your Hair Boy, man. That was... Also,
50
Cent movie.
Oh, word? You did that?
Nah, I didn't. When I did my research, I didn't find that. I didn't know.
You did that, Joey?
That should come right out, man.
Nah.
What kind of
Yo, we got everything else, but missed that one.
Yeah, I know. That's that, the crazy thing is we got all this other portions of your resume that a lot of people probably didn't know about or don't give you credit for, and I didn't even notice the Whoop Your Head Boy thing.
Yeah, Whoop Your Head Boy. Also, was in his movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got to call Wikipedia and tell them get their information. They the ones that said you was going to be in the Mint.
Yeah, they did say that. So we're excited to see you on Friday. As a matter of fact, us three and two other people will be judges at the dunk contest.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'm saying? We just wanted to make sure that we gave you a proper interview. You know what I'm saying? Because we after we read your resume, even before it, because like I said, the Pop Champagne and Jumping Out the Window, A-Rap Money, I mean – definitely hits, but after we read your resume, we really wanted to say, like, yo, this dude's for real, man, and he deserves a great interview. So,
yeah, definitely.
Hey, so my question, what did you think before you read that resume, man? I was just walking around.
No, we just thought that. No, we just thought, because the thing about it, I guess we're victims of media. Because when the media pushes things, we know. And when they don't, we don't. Maybe we're a victim of the radio stations, even though we're on one. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like, people don't talk about the fact that you were a part of Ebonics. Like, when I found out that you had anything to do with Ebonics, I was sold. I didn't even know that when you said Ether Boy that it was because of the track Ether. I was sold.
Oh, come on.
I'm dead. But I'm saying, I guarantee you that I'm not the only one that didn't know that.
I mean, we live in, you know, a world where...
I remind people all the time.
Yeah, we live in a world where the producer, you know, is basically like the director, you know. The artist is the star. Well, because Kanye is loud, man. But after, you know, seeing your body of work, I got an album coming out in 2038, right? It's going to be dropping the fall of 2038. I might need you to, you know, get on there. We get together and make some music. See how this thing go, you know?
Let's do it.
Bring it over the top.
I definitely want to say myself, you know, even as an artist, like, once again, definitely reiterating what Vern just said, that we definitely are victims of the media. I already knew, you know, just from coming up, that you are a dope producer, dope artist, somebody that I respected in the game. And as a youngin', I didn't do my due diligence to find out more about you. So to read your resume now as an adult and have the opportunity to look at what you've done in your history and your body of work, I've already had the respect for you as an artist, but I also obtained new respect because you're, regardless if people give you the credit or not, you're a staple in hip-hop.
Yeah, for sure. And from here on out, I'm everything is Ron Browns.
Can't nobody say nothing bad about Ron Browns right now.
Not to me. So
appreciate that, man.
Now, we appreciate you giving us the time, and especially we appreciate you agreeing to come to the tournament, man.
Yeah.
That's huge for us, man, because the kids do need it, and it's going to be a great tournament. And, like, I want to say this because we say it to all our guests, and we mean it, but we really mean it to you. If you have a single, I know you don't need us, but, man, hit us up, man. Anything you want to, like,
she don't like me. That's the focus single right now.
Yeah. All right. We was just talking about that yesterday, right? Me.
Yeah, we actually just, I sent the song to Vern, and I listened to it myself. I was at work on Vibes listening to that joint, so.
We'll push it. We'll push it heavy, man.
Okay.
All right, so any shout-outs before you get out of here?
Shout-out to y'all. You know, shout-out to, you know, Whole Husband, but, you know,
having
me be a part of it.
Even though Roach told you it's Hudson, man, we Hud City. Like, y'all hometown USA, we Hud City, man.
Okay, let's go, man. Yeah. I'm looking forward to meeting y'all.
Yeah,
we'll see you at the game.
Yeah, thank you so much, man.
Absolutely, thank you.
Ray, play that Ron Brown Mega Mix. All right, thanks, dog. Yeah,
listen in, we got a Mega Mix for you, too. All
right.
Yes, sir.
Sir.
My boy, Tom.